Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Here we go. The best time of the week. Grab a cold one out of the fridge. Rip it open and wash away your troubles.
Rugby league, that's why we love it.
The footy's on the radio. And how good is it? Strap yourself in because you've never heard the footy like this. Yeah. Welcome. Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the footy.
And welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. Scores so far in this round. Panthers 16, Tigers 2. Tigers have lost four of their last five. Warriors 24, Parramatta 14. Parramatta fans, stick around. We'll talk Parra shortly. Broncos 28, Roosters 22. South 20, Cowboys 19. Manly 24, Storm 4. And the mighty Gold Coast Titans, Gordy's team, are back on the winning list with a 33 points to 26 victory over the Newcastle Knights. And from the Gold Coast Titans, he joins us for a chat about yesterday. Jai Arrow, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, congratulations, mate. It seemed like it, you know, it was a long time coming, but you blokes, you never, ever gave up. I mean, there was always the effort.
Yeah, there definitely is. And, you know, I think that's something, you know, we spoke about through the week was, you know, we want to be a team who never gives up. And, you know, I thought we showed that yesterday and, you know, we really stood up and, yeah, I'm just happy to be back in the winner's circle.
Mate, talk us through your injury. I think a couple of weeks ago you stood in front of Paulo and then they said, and what, and then your rib cage got moved or something like that, was it?
Apparently, they were saying that sort of with the impact, my rib cage moved and sort of compressed my insides, which was more shock than anything. Out on the field, I couldn't breathe there for, you know, a couple of minutes, so I started to panic a bit. And the doc just said, you know, mate, something's not right, so we'll just go get it all checked out. But, you know, I was lucky enough that there was no, you know, major damage or anything. But it's more my back, my just under my scapula. I don't really know what's going on in there, but it's just, you know, it's just sore. And I guess it's just something I'm just going to have to tough out. And there's really nothing I can do about it, really.
Yeah, because last night you sort of got held up in a tackle and they twisted you and you looked like you're in a fair bit of pain there.
Yeah, I was. And that's why I just said, you know, I can't really do anything about it. It's just, you know, it comes with footy. Footy's a contact sport and, yeah.
There's definitely a tough effort from yourself, Jai, to back up and play so quickly after sustaining an injury like that. What was it actually called? Was it a rib contusion? Is that what they called it? Or?
To be honest, I have no idea what they called it. I'm not too good with those smart words, but a rib contusion, apparently. So I'll just stick with the fancy words and you know, let the experts tell me what it was.
You guys must be pretty proud of the effort yesterday.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, we were. You know, five losses in a row really, I guess, you know, can hurt teams. And, you know, it gets pretty frustrating coming to training when, you know, you've had that many losses in a row. But, you know, no, I really thought the boys stood up yesterday. You know, I thought Ash Taylor was, you know, best game of the season. And he really controlled us there in the middle and told us where he wanted to go. And, you know, I thought AJ Brimson for his second NRL game, you know, I thought there's great potential there. And, you know, hopefully him and Ash can build a combination and moving forward. And, you know, hopefully we can put more wins together.
Yeah, you're spot on, Joy. He was terrific, Ash Taylor, especially when the game was in the balance. What about Bryce Cartwright, mate? Talk us through, as one of his teammates, have you got around him, you know, over the course of the last 7 days? He's obviously been in the headlines a hell of a lot. What's it been like?
Obviously it's been pretty tough. Everyone's been pretty tough on Cardi. You know, I do feel sorry for him, but before the game yesterday, I just said to him, mate, don't let the media get to you. Go out there and play your game because realistically, we know what he can do, and you know he's a freak in nature when you know he does stand up and play footy, and you know I thought he did show that there in you know bits yesterday. You know he's a big body, and you know if we can get him carrying the ball hard and you know going into tackles real hard and you know, just in, I think the best thing would just the best thing would get be to get Cardi just to enjoy himself. You know, the Gold Coast is a great lifestyle, and I mean, I just think we need to get back to you know, playing good footy, and you know, get Cardi to enjoy himself, and you know, I think we can get the best out of him.
Tell us about Garth Brennan since he's got there. How have you found him as a coach, and what has impressed you most about him?
I think Breno just—he's you know—he's a good bloke, and you know, he cares about his players. And I just—I think everyone wants to play for him. You know, he's been great for everyone. I think up here at the coast, and you know, I guess he's the change that I guess the Gold Coast needed. You know, obviously the Gold Coast hasn't had the best run over the past couple of years, but you know, he's come up and told us what he thinks he you know, he can do and what he wants from everyone. And it's pretty simple. All we got to do is just turn up every week and, you know, I guess have a go and, you know, do our best every week. And, you know, we want to win games, but, you know, if we can be competitive and work off that, you know, hopefully the results will come.
It's a tough old competition, isn't it? Like, you guys are sitting now on, what is it, 8 points. You're 4 points out of the eight, but there's one, I think there's about five, six teams on 12 points as well. So it's a lot of teams around the middle of the table are all beating each other.
Yeah, no, they are. You know, obviously, I think rugby league's probably the hardest sport to play and, you know, the toughest sport. And, you know, that's the great thing about our game is you don't know who's going to win on the day. And, you know, anyone can beat anyone. So, you know, it's exciting. And, you know, I'm sure the fans love to watch it. So, you know, it's good.
Tell us a little bit about AJ Brimson Jai. We saw him score that terrific try last night, hugely influential. What can you tell us about the young bloke?
He's a quiet sort of bloke. You know, he doesn't really say much. He sort of, I guess, keeps to himself. And, you know, I guess the best thing about him is he wants to learn and, you know, he wants to, I guess, thrive off the pressure that he's been given. He's sort of been chucked in the deep end a bit, but, you know, he's taking it with both hands and, no, I think he's doing a really good job, and you know, I'm really excited for him. You know, he's only two games into his NRL career, and there's obviously already promising signs. And you know, I'm really looking forward to playing a lot more footy with him.
Is this your halves combination now rolling forward? We've seen your coach Garth Brennan, we've seen Kane Elgee there, and then we've seen Bryce Cartwright there at stages. Do you think this is the best halves combination for the Gold Coast rolling forward?
Oh, well, at the moment, you know, I think that'll be Garth's decision. But at the moment, you know, I think it is. You know, Brimo's a young half who, you know, I guess brings a lot of energy. And, you know, that's what you want from your halves is to bring a lot of energy. So I guess, you know, everyone can play off the back of that. And, you know, I hope they do stick together. You know, obviously we showed that yesterday that, you know, if we've got both halves working well, we can come away with the results.
What about Origin this year, mate? Do you give yourself a crack at that, or you, tell us your thoughts on it.
Oh, I'd love to have a crack. Obviously, it's a pinnacle of rugby league, I think, and it's sort of a game. I'd love to have a go in, and you know, if I do get that opportunity, I'll take it with both hands and obviously do my best, but. I'm honestly not really worried about that at the moment. I'm more worried about, you know, I guess playing good footy for my club. And if I'm doing that and enjoying myself, hopefully everything just sort of rolls off the back of it.
What do you think you've got to do there to put yourself in the selectors' eyes?
I guess just play good footy. Yeah. You know, I guess I can't really do anything else at the moment. You know, the team gets picked next week, and you know, if I do get picked, well, happy day to me, really. But you know, I'm just really enjoying my footy. You know, I'm loving it here. I'm back home. You know, I'm around my friends and family, and you know, it's just I'm in a good space, and I'm just loving it.
Good on you, mate. And you are back home. You live in God's country, and it says so much about the club and the coach and the people that operate the club that you snared a bloke like Shannon Boyd up there. That's a good signing. That's a good get. That says a lot about where the Titans are going in the future.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. You know, Shannon will bring that size, I guess, that we sort of need in the pack. And, you know, he's played for his country. So, you know, he's a great signing. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to working with him and, I guess, learning off him, because he'll be one of the most experienced forwards in the pack next year. And, you know, I can't wait for him to jump on board and get amongst it.
Hey, good on you, mate. Congratulations on yesterday.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
All right. Sunday, Triple M NRL. Great win for the Gold Coast Titans over Newcastle yesterday, 33-26. Finally, they get back in the winning list. Still to come, we're going to talk about the Parramatta Eels, but so many people wanting to hear about Gordy's Royal Wedding review, the Royal Wedding yesterday. Gordy's done a lovely review on it. I didn't know he was so into it, but he was sipping Pimm's and having a, you know, tea and scones and all that sort of thing. And
absolutely.
It was all very prim and proper. We'll take a break and come back with more right after this with Hoops, Kenty and Gordy Tallis on Sunday Triple M NRL.
Welcome back. Triple M Rocks Footy.
And welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. Time to talk a little bit of Parramatta Eels, because we know so many, there's such a popular club in the Sydney Basin, Parramatta. Passionate fans, you won't get more passionate than Parramatta fans. They are down there in last position. They've won two games and they've lost, what, nine? So they won two in a row. There was a little bit of a flash in the pan where Parramatta kind of looked like they were finding themselves again. They were beaten by the Warriors over the weekend, 24-14. Last week, it was the Doggies that got them 20-12. Then the week before, I think it was the Sharkies. Then 2 weeks before that, they've won a couple. And then they opened the batting with losing a handful of games as well. Really, for Parramatta, it has just been the absolute season from hell. Then we see today that Kenny Edwards has been released from the club because of his record. There's some injury concerns. And I don't know where they go from here, Parramatta. We do hear some talk. I know most of you guys don't believe there's any substance to it, but I need to raise it. Even if, say, you can knock it down, Hoops, we do kind of hear some talk about the future of Brad Arthur.
Yeah, it's always intriguing when you open the batting, Anthony. Look, in relation to BA, there has been a lot of talk, certainly over the course of the last month, about whether he's the right person for the job. And if the losses continue to mount, then that talk isn't going to go away. That's just one of the realities of the NRL and of professional sport. And I think Brad's old enough and ugly enough and been around long enough to understand that. So, you know, there are some good coaches not coaching at the moment. So the Eels, they need to try and turn things around. Look, as it sits right now, he is signed for the rest of this season and next season, Brad Arthur. But there's no such thing as job security in the NRL when you're losing.
Paul? Oh, hang on, we've got a little drama with your microphone there. That's there we right. go.
Loose carry from Jordo. We're here now.
Come on, Jordan. particularly at Parramatta, though, Hoops, which is a club that's pretty flush with funds, so they do have the capacity to pay out a contract if they're not happy. The concern for Parramatta and for Brad Arthur, where I think this dovetails together, is that I just don't think as a roster they've got it right. I think the Corey Norman, Mitchell Moses combination is not working. I think they're grating as a partnership. They're overcalling each other. There's signs when you watch them closely that they don't work. I think there are times when Corey's tries to. I think Corey Mitchell's such a dominating personality that Corey drifts out of the game. And then when Corey has played his best football, it's generally because Mitchell Moses, for example, that time he was sin binned. Corey for 10 minutes just put on a bit of a spurt, played really well.
Mm.
And
they're not gelling for some reason. There was about a minute 60 or something to go the other night, and Corey Norman put on a play, and then Moses is yelling at him to get on the outside. Well, normally, if you're a partnership, you skip out to the second receiver and get Corey to give it to you. You know what I mean? Like, whether it's six or seven or, you know what I mean, it doesn't matter, but you two guys are still combining with the ball. And there's something not quite right, and they're not gelling, and it's like that they're not trying to make each other better players at the moment. And that's just ball. And their forward pack hasn't really dominated either. No. So, like, they're, mate, you don't want to heap all the, you know, blame on those two guys, because they're only as good as their forward pack. And most of the time, they've held even, but they haven't really blown any forward packs off the park.
And Kenny Edwards is gone for the season now. He's been released from the club. And so is Bo Scott. ACL injury confirmed overnight. Yeah, so he's done for the season. So Parramatta.
Is that Bo Scott done now?
Well, he's off contract at the end of this season.
It's going to be tough for him, mate. Yeah. Like, Bo Scott is one of those guys you love having around your club. Yeah. He's a good influencer for enforcing professional standards within your club. And he was, for a long while there, he was the guy in the New South Wales pack that just had that little bit of
edge. They do is players have an edge, and then some people don't see what the edge, but they have an edge, whether it's at training, whether it's around the young guys, whether it's whatever they're doing. But he's one of those guys that I think he's squeezed a lot of juice out of the orange. Like, he's got a lot out of his body. He doesn't look like the biggest guy around, but he certainly played well above his weight. And you just hope that if it is his last game,
it's
that
going to be
played.
Tough for him now, Gordon. I think if he wants to continue playing, I dare say it'll probably be in England now, which is going to be tough. So we'll wait and see. But I think Parramatta have got real issues, which they've been in denial about for some time, about the culture within the club. I talk about the mood, the players just don't seem happy. They're not playing like they're happy. The club keeps denying that there's any issue there. Anytime you try to talk about it or ask about it, everybody gets their back up and they're almost offended by it. Yet people who are close to the club continue to tell you that is the issue at the club, and that the players are going out getting on the drink. Earlier this year, Parramatta had a night out. A couple of blokes kicked on, and I think if you remember, it caused a little bit of a small media storm. A couple of players kicked out. Parramatta went into deep denial that it didn't happen. It appears that it did happen, just that the club was denying it because they didn't know about it. Those sorts of things, when they're happening within your club and players are going out on a Wednesday night and having half a dozen beers, the beers themselves aren't the issue. It's the reason they're out having a few beers midweek, those sorts of things. Every man's entitled to go and have a beer when he feels like it. But the flip side I'll put to that is, you see teams in various forms over the years have come out and they've announced 2 months before the finals that they're all off the drink. They're going to have a crack at winning the premiership. You know, the Roosters did it 2013. The Knights did it in 2001. You know, like, teams have done it over the years. And that shows you where their head's at. And everybody applauds those teams when they make that decision. Yet everybody gets defensive when you go the other way and you say, hang on, why are you at Wednesday night getting full of beer?
I'm a believer that you've got to sacrifice something.
Yeah.
You know, and for mine was diet and, you know, your social occasion. And you have to sort of become a hermit. And then sometimes, you know, like then the first year I ever came back after I sat out, I didn't drink for the whole year.
Yeah.
You know, and then that was, you know, but I was still trying to find my feet at Brisbane, which was a hard sort of place to fit in because of that much talent. And at the Dragons, I had a combination with Brownie, Noel Goldthorpe and Chock and all those guys. And then as it goes on, then you might go through a 6 or 8 week period where you don't, and you've got to sacrifice something in life.
Gordon, the average NRL wage now is over $300,000 a year. There is not a job anywhere in Australia where you can earn over $300,000 a year and not have to sacrifice something.
Yes.
That's the reality. And not have pressure.
And not have pressure. And that is the reality. And if you're an NRL player and you don't want to sacrifice that something, or you don't want pressure, that's fine. You go and play footy like Jamie Lyon did that year and play for Wewell.
Score 50 points a game.
Yeah, but get left alone. Play your footy.
They want to comp the Panthers.
Yeah, yes. but let's look at this from a point of view of a Parramatta supporter. I don't think anyone in any sport has been asked more than a Parramatta supporter. They've had Jared Hayne leave, go and play NFL, come back. This Kenny Edwards thing. They've had dramas at board level. They've had that salary cap thing. They've had a bevy of coaches. They've seen star players go elsewhere. They've seen their club sign a couple of dud players. They really have been tested here, Parramatta. And just when it looked like it was coming good, like last year, here they are. They've won 2 games and we're almost at Origin time.
Did it really look like it was coming good, Anthony? They beat the Tigers and...
No, I mean that last year it looked like it was coming good.
Last year, here we are again. Yeah. Look, I think it's been spoken about at length, but they certainly underestimated the loss of Semi Radradra. I think they felt by bringing Jared Hayne back to the club was a little bit like buying the farm back, and as much as he hadn't been able to recapture any sort of the form that we know he's capable of at the Gold Coast, I think Brad Arthur thought that he could get, he was the person, similar to Craig Bellamy at the Melbourne Storm, he was the coach who could get the best out of Jared. That hasn't happened. Aside from that, their recruitment right across the board has been wide of the mark, and that's why they sit where they sit.
Look, the other thing though too, Maroon, is all those things that you mentioned about Parramatta's problems are self-inflicted.
Mm.
Nobody else imposed the salary cap problems on them. Nobody decided to let Jared go and then decided to bring him back. It's all self-inflicted. So Parramatta have got a few, I suppose, boardroom management issues that they've really got to address. Bernie Gurr is a very good CEO. He's doing a great job with the club. But they do urgently need to bring in a football manager who, it's interesting, Brad Arthur has been described to me as a person that probably doesn't like having a football manager around because he's so hands-on and he's a workaholic. He does, you know, enormous hours. And having somebody come in and take control of the club for a certain part of the process of whether it's recruitment, contract negotiations, those sorts of things, I've been told Brad would struggle to give the responsibility to somebody to do that. But all that tells me is Brad needs to find somebody he can trust to do that. Craig Bellamy is exactly the same type of character, and he found someone in Frank Panisi. Now, whether Frank can get the sin bin right's another matter. But
hey, don't blame Frank for that. Frank's problem.
But it wasn't Frank's fault.
He went up to the NRL bloke and tried to
tell him. We've had this discussion.
Didn't blame anybody.
It wasn't Frank's fault. Gordon, back in your box. So, but that's where Parramatta are. Oh, here we go.
A short joke. Another short joke.
Oh, mate, that's like, seriously, who writes his stuff?
Unfortunately, he does.
Don't take your glasses off, I'll punch around them.
Probably with Gordon, the HR.
Yeah, another HR.
Yeah. Problem with Gordon is all these jokes, they come out on the same piece of paper that's that old, it's starting to fall apart now because it's the same jokes. Go and get yourself a fresh piece of paper and please write some new jokes.
That's why he's got to change radio stations every few years so he can rehash his old jokes.
You don't like it, do you?
You like it when everyone's ganging up on me, but you don't like it when everyone's ganging up on you, do you? You get on Fox League and you're bloody crawling up to everyone and Vonnie and you can't... Yeah. You can hardly speak to her, you're that mesmerised by her.
Well, that's talent. Yeah, I mean, you get in awe with people with talent. When they're really good at their job.
All right, I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. Take us on. We'll come back and we'll talk about the Roosters and the Broncos.
Take off your pretend glasses.
Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, Hoops and Maroon doing it for Ream Hot Water. We're back after this. Thanks to Ream Hot Water Heaters. Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon. Panthers 16, Tigers 2, Warriors 24, Parramatta 14, Broncos 28, Roosters 22, Titans 33, Knights 16, Souths 20, Cowboys 19, Manly 24, Storm 4. And the game at Mudgee Glen Willow Regional Sports Stadium, Mudgee, will kick off at 2:00. Dragons Raiders. We'll get to ask the boys about that before it kicks off. But lovely once again to see rugby league being taken to a beautiful rural area like Mudgee, and the locals have responded to that. So we'll talk about that more very shortly. Right now, where we want to go is Broncos 28, Roosters 22. The issue around Dylan Napa's tackle and Dylan Napa being sin bin. Before I go any further, I'll just give you a listen to what Gordy Tallis had to say on Fox League.
He can't go for 10 minutes.
It's a head clash. It's an accidental head clash.
He is led with the head in a dangerous fashion.
Oh, my God. That is ridiculous.
It's on report and he's in the bin.
Oh, what?
That is ridiculous.
That's going to be talking about.
I've had enough. Do you know what? Does suspend him for Origin. You watch. There's a conspiracy right now.
Wowee, I tell you what.
This referee needs to be sacked.
Okay, that audio, in fact, was Triple M Brizzy with Benny Dobbin and Gordy Tallis.
Well, Dobbo hasn't blown up that much since they closed down Sizzler. Do you know what? It's
what about you, Quint?
Oh, mate, I was so angry, Paul. And I go to a game every week promising myself, don't talk about referees, because they're out there doing their best. And there's 500 junior referees that walk away from our game every year. And I'd hate to see it in all other sports as well. So you go there. But when they had time to look at it and his excuse was you led with the head and that's the way you get taught to tackle. My head, if I bend over anyway, even a swimmer jumping in the pool, their head is in front of their shoulders. So you have to lead with your head to make any sort of tackle.
It was an awkward style.
It was an awkward style because he was going to hit him that hard.
For a big shot with his left shoulder.
And then his back of his head hit Corbin Sims. Do you know what? It's not Corbin Sims' fault either, but he didn't have the ability and the footwork to evade because he got that set and he
contributed to it.
He come that hard. He should have went back and spun the other way away, but he tried to get across the whole road. Instead of jumping back off the curb, he tried to go across two lanes, not only his left shoulder, his massive head, and his right shoulder he tried to get across. Well, it was a poor decision from Corbin Sims, not to say that he was at fault at all, but that's what happened.
Should have just been a penalty. I don't think it shouldn't even have been a penalty.
Do you know what? Well, if Dylan Napa knocks himself out and goes off, what happens?
But the onus is on the defender. That didn't happen. The onus is on the defender, right? So if someone hits you high, Gordon, if someone hits you in the head with a swinging arm, well, it's going to be a penalty.
Well, that's a swinging arm. But all the chest-on-chest tackling now, there is more head clashes than ever. In the grand final, James Graham and Sam Burgess, he broke his cheekbone. Yeah. Right, yeah. So that's what happens because of the tackling style. So when you bend your
back, as an example of,
I know, but
of an accident.
No, but then when you bend your back the way he did, right, and his shoulder was there, and they said that it didn't wrap his arms. Such rubbish because in a slow motion replay, mate, like you see his arms come together.
So
like
he was
going to hit him.
Shot.
Yeah. And for me and what Paul likes, he might like watching a Ponga Steppen or a Matt Bowen chip and chase or whatever. When he hit Lodge, 125-kilo guy, and he can put it, it was the best moment of the game for me to go watch the game. And there must be, you know,
there's
a few people that go there.
Feel the same. Yeah.
And then, you know what? Lodge had another chance and he stepped. He did a big Y. So he's running straight and saw him. And I don't know what road he took after that. But as soon as he saw Napa, I love that. Because there's a mental, physical battle that Napa was winning over the Broncos pack. And then Corbin Sims sits on the sideline, saw it. Oh, no, here he comes. Let's avoid him. Get out of the road. Because you do. Because that's your instinct. And it come off, and I was a bit cranky at the time.
Well, while we're flailing people, can we flail you for your, oh, it's a conspiracy, they'll ban him for Origin. Oh, you Queenslanders always go that way. Oh, poor us in Queensland. Poor us in Queensland.
While we're flailing people, what about Jerry Sutton and his record for Broncos up in Brisbane? That's 15 from 15. Yeah. 15 wins for the Broncos from the last 15 games.
But it was a great game of footy.
Yeah. It was a brilliant game of football. It was one of the best games of the season.
The Roosters in the first half, early ball to Luttrell. He only finished, I think, with 3 runs for the game.
Mm.
In the second half, what happened in the first? What worked for you in the first?
Edge was carving them up, though. It was Keary, it was Luttrell, it was Boyd Cordner.
But they stopped going there. That's the point.
And
they stopped going there. Why would you stop going there when you get having success? Oh.
Brad Fittler sitting on the sideline. Well, Cordner
scored that try down the left edge in the second half.
Off a kick.
Where have you got the Roosters? They're building nicely, mate.
Their forwards are starting to crunch. I thought Jake Friend was really good, you know, because there's been
he's
a bit of...
He's playing with that busted Sternum.
Sternum as well. Yeah. Cordner's starting to get a bit of his mojo back. I thought Ferguson was brilliant. He made 2 mistakes. Ferguson was really strong with his carries. Cooper Cronk's kicking game. I thought Tedesco's starting to pop up in the right places. And young Luttrell... is brilliant, and James Roberts was equal on the other side. Brisbane, the hanging out, mate, they were out on their feet in stages of that game, but a typical Wayne Bennett side that doesn't go away, hung in there, got a couple of lucky tries, like Stags, you know, with that inside ball, but their young forwards, Offengawi, I think, to play 80-odd minutes, and Pangai Jr. is turning into my favourite forward in the competition at the moment, how he just takes on everybody. He's got real strong carries. It was a high-quality football game.
That try from Jimmy the Jet, it was like a V8 supercar wound up around Mount Panorama.
Both of those guys attacking can only do what they do.
Asako, Rob, are you talking about Asako?
Luttrell and Jimmy the Jet.
Are they left and right side? Are they a chance of left and right side to play for New South Wales?
Of course they're a chance, I think they're very much. I think Luttrell will be the left centre. And then in terms of who is the right centre, I think it's probably still a shootout.
He
had it up anyway, but I think it's still a shootout probably between Jimmy the Jet and Ewan Aitken.
Yeah.
What about
and they're both very good.
What about
very
the good. Fact that at the moment, Gordy, if I look at the ladder, the 8 teams in the EWFW ladder, Dragons, Panthers, Warriors, Rabbitohs, Storm, Roosters, Tigers, Sharks. No Queensland teams in the top eight. What would it be like if it ends that way?
If you come over my house and said that, my mum would wash your mouth out with soap. Don't go swearing like that. How dare you? Well, even put pepper on it too. It'd be pepper soap. Stop it.
Well, mate.
Don't kick us while we're down. We do go into Triple M Queensland as well, you know.
I know. That's why I need a response. What would it be like for...
Well, the Titans won. The Cowboys were very unlucky. And the Broncos are building nicely. Don't forget, the Broncos are still trying to work out. They've had a few injuries. Their forward pack has been sort of showing up at some stages. But Semi Thaido, I thought, is starting to get back to some sort of form. No Maguire, no Gillett, no God. Bird.
Wrong time to be talking Queensland back in form just before Origin. You've got to be out of form. You've got to be the underdog.
No, we started a hashtag yesterday. After they claimed the underdogs tag on the back of Cam Smith.
We are the retirement. Underdogs tag.
How are you the underdogs? What about
on my
your backline? But what about your?
No, oh, here they, we go. Here they, we go.
Skewered the market. So Greg Inglis is a future immortal. He's going to be your captain.
Who?
Right, Greg Inglis. Future immortal, he'll be your captain. Billy Slater, he's in the conversation as well. Dane Gagai got the Wally Lewis medal as a player of the series last year. Will Chambers plays for Australia, right?
Yeah.
Where's the weak links? Then you've got Josh Maguire, who's coming back. He's a kangaroo. Matt Scott's been the best prop in the game for the last five seasons.
Mm. He might be injured.
How are Queensland the underdogs?
Because they're Queensland.
Because we are. You lose. You lose Jonathan Thurston. You lose your 6, 7, and 9 out of any side.
We haven't had a 6, 7, and 9 for 10 years. We haven't had a 6, 7, 9, 10 years. No sympathy there.
Pierce, after he heard about Cam Smith's retirement.
No, you're going to run out. You're just going to put out. You're going to throw the empty jerseys on the ground.
So you're bagging Robbie Farrar, are you?
Your mate.
So you're going to throw 9 for the last 10 years.
You're going to throw an empty 6, 7, and 9 jersey on the ground, are you? Nobody be playing in them?
Oh, no, they'll be out there.
Yeah, well, there you go.
What about, the performance of Daly Cherry Evans last night? Yeah, he's put his name right back.
But they'll ignore that.
He's put his name right back in contention.
They'll ignore that. They've got no half.
I thought that was hogwash that there was drama.
Who's Ben Hunt? Who does he play for? New South Wales or Queensland? Hey, the form halfback in the
Do you want him
to?
You've got Kiri, like a little Ipswich boy, so do you want
him to? No, he's going to wear the Blues number 6.
Yeah, I know. So
finally got one back for GI. Yeah.
What, and Peter Sterling?
That makes the score
Nagus.
About 35-1, Gordon. So.
No, you just don't like it because they didn't want him, right? And you gave him to us, and now you're still over it. But what about Jamie Lyon didn't even want to play for you either?
You've
got to say he does stand up for his state. He does stand up.
Oh, mate, it's
you
painful.
Guys talk
Boy,
about
he's
GI.
Just starting to bleed.
You guys talk about GI. Remember when Jamie Lyon didn't want to play for you?
Jamie Lyon
How
didn't want to play.
How far back do you want to go, Gordon?
He didn't want to play. Didn't want to play for Australia either, Gordon. So what are you talking?
No, because you got to play for New South Wales before you play.
But it was Australia.
He would have loved to have played for Australia. He just didn't want to play for New South
no,
Wales.
No, he did play for New South Wales. He played good for New South Wales. He won series with New South Wales.
He was the best center in the game.
Yeah, no, he did, Gordon. He retired from rep football, a bit like a bloke called Cameron Smith.
After 42 games,
doesn't matter. He thought his innings had come to a close, and he declared it closed, like Cameron Smith, like Cooper Cronk.
You don't retire like before you get Thurston. To 100.
Oh, come on now.
You've got to raise the bat first.
You blokes are so selective in the way you see things. Everything's great in Queensland except the
pizza. I see you as a tall dwarf.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll stop you there because we're going to come back and talk more Origin. But everybody's been waiting on it. Yes, it's coming up very shortly. Mm-hmm. Gordon Tallis's Royal Wedding Review is coming up shortly as Triple M. Are you ready, Gordy? You ready for it? As Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M footy.
Sunday Triple M NRL. We are live in the studios in Sydney, but at 4 o'clock this afternoon, we've got that big game for you between the Doggies and the Sharks. And at 2 o'clock at Glen Willow Stadium in Mudgee, the Dragons will take on the Canberra Raiders. So we'll get the boys' tips before we get to that game. But look, of course, everybody was watching the Royal Wedding last night at home. Mm. I know my wife was there, my daughter, and they were absolutely just glued to the TV watching the just a beautiful thing to see, the Royal Wedding. And I didn't really get into it, but I watched 5 or 10 minutes. But Gordon, I was surprised when I picked you up at the airport this morning that you'd already spoken to our producer. You watched the whole thing from go to woe, and you've done a little wedding review, a little royal wedding review.
Yeah, I'm quite the royal watcher, actually. I really love it.
Right, okay.
Since Pippa and Kate joined the family, and now Megan, I'm really up on the Royals.
Okay.
So they spent $500,000 on food.
You're joking. On food?
$370,000 on champagne.
Wow. $870,000.
Sounds like your sort of party, man.
Yeah. And, you know, her dress was made by Givenchy. You know, Givenchy.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think they've been. And
who?
One of,
how do you actually pronounce
it? I think it's Givenchy, is it?
Givenchy. I don't know. I'm not French or wherever it's from.
Oh, that'd be Italy, but anyway.
Yeah.
It's next door.
Yeah, one of those places over there.
I'm loving this.
870 grand on food and grog. I did my daughter's at the Watteau Bay Pub for 15 grand.
Yeah, well, talking about 15 feet. That, what is it? The thing that hangs off the back of her head?
Oh, the train.
The veil. The veil.
The train.
Yeah, the train or the veil or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, the Thomas the Tank Engine hanging off the back of her head. Was hand embroidered with 53 flowers.
Wow.
From all the Commonwealth countries.
Mm. Wow.
Not only in one dress, who they say that would cost around $400,000. She had two of them.
Isn't she American? Why would she wear it?
I think she's Canadian, Paul.
She
probably get a restraining order out about me.
I didn't. Sorry, that's the extent of my royal knowledge.
She wore one of Lady Di's rings,
right?
Which was marine aqua sort of. Okay. I don't know what sort of cut. Emerald. It was an emerald cut, diamond. But the most impressive thing for me, I don't know how many blokes have got married wearing spurs. But Prince Harry had spurs on.
Why?
I don't know.
For the after party?
The mechanical bull? I don't know. But Prince Harry had spurs on the back of his boots. And I found it.
Well, wasn't he in the, he was in the military uniform, wasn't he?
Yeah. So it must be the horse brigade or something like that. Yeah. But the greatest thing is
he fly a helicopter.
So I don't know. So I don't know why he would have spurs. So that's something that threw me out because being the royal watcher that I am, I didn't even know that William had three children. Nah. I thought he just had one, that little Georgie kid.
He's got two, but anyway.
He's got two, yeah.
I find it hard to believe you're confused though, Gordon.
He's got three, hasn't he? He's got George, a daughter, and he's got another one, hasn't he?
He's got two.
Kate has got three. I want someone to tweet in.
All right, he's got
because I think you guys
three,
are wrong.
He's got three.
I told you, I'm the royal watcher.
Three?
Okay.
Oh, he's got.
Doesn't
three.
Matter.
You got to keep
what
up with me, guys.
What about what they have for dinner? Give it to the juicy bits.
No, the juicy bit.
Yeah.
Did anybody see Reverend?
Oh, Reverend Brown and Randy Watson
is like,
if loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right.
That's like little Jimmy Hooper, little Paulie Kent. Sleazy maroon. But can we just, I don't know whether we got any audio of
the
real.
We do.
But I don't know what type of message he was trying to get across. Let's see.
The power of love. Love, 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 love,
okay, and
I think what he's doing there was, it's an old tactic. He was subliminally trying to tell Megan that she is marrying Harry because she loves him and not because of the fame and the wealth.
Yeah, that could be
subtle.
Yeah.
But it was funny because on Megan's side, all of her family were sitting there looking and doing the old, you know, doing the old head nod, like, yeah, brother said something then type of thing. And you looked over at the royals, and not one of them was paying attention to a point. A couple of them were laughing.
Right.
I don't think this marriage has got off on the right foot.
Okay.
I think Harry being a bit of a rebel, you know, has gone against the Queen's orders.
The bookies have got the over-under at 8 years. You're tipping under.
Ooh, 8 years.
Shouldn't you know that if you're a royal wedding expert?
Hey, I'm a watcher.
What is it, a dollar?
Okay, at the moment I'm still on Pippa and Kate. And Kate's had three kids, so she's probably out of the, you know.
Gordon, do you know, we've just had a couple of questions come through while you're doing your report. I don't quite know how to put this one. The first one is, do you know where they were going for their honeymoon?
Yeah, they're going to
Port Macquarie.
They're going to one of the African countries, actually, to do a bit of charity work.
And this is an interesting one. This is a question that came through from Lewis in Glenmore says, do you know what type of lingerie Megan was wearing? Because that's a big part of the wedding outfit, the lingerie. You know anything about that?
Yeah, she got, she actually, because it was quite warm over there, she just wore a pair of cotton undies from Target.
You are a goose. Well, boys.
What's wrong with cotton undies from Target?
There's nothing wrong with them. I'm wearing some right now myself.
That was Stella McCartney's maroon, if you
No, that was the dress.
Oh, was it?
She might have been wearing the honey bedette. That's the nice one. That
the lily white silk dress from Stella McCartney.
I didn't watch a millisecond of it, but I was reading in the papers this morning, and there was a little bit of controversy around one of the speeches. It must have been the Reverend or whoever it is who puts them together.
The telegrams,
and,
was it?
No. And some of the wording that he chose. So there was some debate around whether he said sensual or whether he said sexual.
Ooh.
Can you confirm or deny that, Anthony?
Was it that Reverend?
No,
can you clarify this?
No, what he did, that was the band. Come on, it was sexual chocolate. Randy Watson. Mr. Randy Watson.
Well, this is where we say goodbye to you, Hoops.
Beautiful. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks for coming in. You're doing a tremendous job. Tremendous job.
I don't know how he could breathe that shirt.
Yeah, you look like the Milky Bar kid today, don't you?
It was tight, that shirt.
But we'll catch you. I know. I love how you've just, you know, as Paul Kent once said about somebody, you like water, you get into every, you know, you get in where water can't.
He's like your corpies.
There's not a show.
Everything, mate, the cashies, the corpies. I can't keep up with you, mate.
There's not a show on Fox League that you're not on.
There's plenty,
you know, there's
mate.
Not a show.
That's
you're even
not
on,
true, Anthony.
There's not a show on Fox League that you're not on.
Anthony,
mate.
You do yourself a disservice.
No,
you
do.
You just make stuff up.
Mate, what is it? Is it the Hoops League channel, is it?
That's what you're doing now, mate.
Well, anyway.
Do you know what his nickname is, Fox?
There's not a show that you can get on.
That's exactly right. You know, I'm the only bloke that works at Triple M that can't do something there. Make the tea, park the cars, anything like that. Anyway,
they call him arthritis because he gets into every joint.
That's the one I was looking for. We'll see you tomorrow night, mate.
See you, boys. Thank you.
And that means we will replace Hoops with Ryan Girdler, which is coming up very shortly. And we'll have those scores for you too from Glen Willow Stadium in Mudgee. Raiders Dragons about to take the field. That's all coming up as Triple M rocks the footy.